healing's free.
Oh,
catch us, Lord God. We stand behind this sacred desk just one more time. God, we need you to hide me behind the cross, that your people will see you and not me. Stand as an empty cup before a full fountain, God. And I need you right now this morning to fill me up with your words, dear God. Keep us near the cross, that we can keep our eyes stayed on you. That when all is said and done, you get all the glory, you get all the honor, and you get all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank God. Amen. A few this morning, two passages of scripture. Gospel according to St. John, chapter number 19. Gospel according to St. John, chapter number 19. You get there, we're going to verse 17, where we begin our reading. It says, and he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two others with him on either side, one, and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And the writing was Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. Go with me to the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 28. And when we get to there, we're going to begin at verse 2. He says, and behold, there was a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came down and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. For fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear ye not, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. The grass withers, flower fades away, for the word of our God shall stand forevermore. I want to talk this morning from the thought after the cross. That's what I want to talk about. After the cross, we are exposed to the agonizing death and pain and suffering experienced by Jesus when we were young children. We are aware of the fact that Jesus endures much, and that he had many negative experiences in life.
Yes, sir.
He had many experiences that could have caused Jesus to become bitter and terminate his mission that he was sent here for.
Yes, sir.
Christ had come on a mission.
Amen.
The angels in heaven knew that what the mission was, but the devil in hell was also aware of what his mission was. Satan was determined to do all in his power that he could to discourage or to hinder Jesus from accomplishing the mission that he was on.
Yes,
he needed to stop him from reaching the goal of Sunday morning.
Yes,
the Bible tells us that Jesus was persecuted and suffering came to him to its peak on a hill called Calvary. Yeah, Calvary. On that hill, he was there on an old rugged cross. And I need to tell you that all of this, all of us at some carrying some crosses. Yeah. Matter of fact, some of us today, right now, are carrying crosses right now. Yeah. See, between us and bright glory, there is a cross for each one of us to bear. The songwriter says, must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone, and there is a cross for me. Sometimes we have several cross experiences during the course of our lives. Now, you must know that Jesus was targeted by those who envied him and were jealous of him because he had gained popularity in the world. Uh-huh. Being popular, you need to know, carries a price. Yeah. When you are popular, many times you are victimized by jealous people who are jealous of your gift, jealous of your talents, jealous of your abilities and your capability. They just don't like you. No matter what you say, anything you say to them or anything you do for them, they just don't like you. Jesus has grown popular in the crowd. But watch, the jealous crowd was composed of church folk. It wasn't nobody outside the church. It was the church folk who were trying to kill Jesus. Yeah, the chief priests, the Bible says, and the scribes and the Pharisees, the religious folk in the church. You do all the good to everybody, but somebody just won't like you because you're doing more than them. And I tell you like this, if you're jealous at what somebody else is doing, then why don't you grab their skirt hole and start doing something behind them instead of talking about them and doing all kind of other things? Don't be jealous of nobody. You treat everybody right. You say all of the right things. You do all of the right things. But somebody just won't like you because they just don't like you. I expect certain problems. And some people, from some people, but when it comes from the individual that I thought knew better, it hurts on the inside. But when you get hurt by your family members who you try to do all you can for them and they still tear you down, it hurts on the inside. But you gotta understand, Jesus, that was your cross to bear sometimes. Jesus had experienced tremendous persecution. All coming to a climax on a hill called Calvary, stretched out on the cross. The cross, the Bible says, is a part of his sentence. Jesus had already been tried. And it already stood the various judgment halls that day. He had finally been sentenced and passed against him, and he had been condemned by death of a crucifixion. The place of execution was on the outskirts of Jerusalem. It was a hill where no flowers would bloom. It was a hill that was in the shape of a man's skull. That place, the place of skulls. Golgotha in the Hebrew was a place of execution. Now, you already know that it was under the load of the cross before he got to the hill. Not only did they persecute him, but they gave him a cross to bear. And he had to carry his own cross. And while he's walking along the way, every now and then he fell on his knee, but he got back up. That ought to tell you, when your cross gets too heavy for you, you might fall on your knee, but you ought to get back up. He was he was labored with the cross all the way to Jerusalem, all the way through the city gates and the outsides of the city and up a hill called Calvary. Yeah, he was relieved by a man called Simon.
Yeah.
Black man. Standing side of the road. When he fell and couldn't carry the cross anymore, they compelled him to pick up Jesus' cross and help him carry it to Calvary's hill. This often seen comes to terms in the midst of suffering on Calvary Hill. The cross was a cruel instrument of suffering designed to bring about a slow, tormenting death where the victims were nailed by their hands and their feet to the cross. Yeah. Jesus hung there on the cross. Not for anything he did, but for our sins. He hung there on Calvary's cross. When we see the cross, the cross has become a symbol of suffering and agony and pain. The old folk would say it like this: on a hill, far away, stood an old rugged cross, an emblem of suffering and shame. Then they got happy to say, so I cherish the old rugged cross. Yeah, you ought to cherish the cross today. It's impossible now to see the cross as a thing of glory, the cross, without thinking about the pain and the suffering and the sorrow that Jesus went through. Jesus had to cope with his cross. And that he did.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, he did it. He did it. And if he did it, then I know that with the help of the Lord, whatever it is you are carrying on your shoulder, the Lord will help you through. But watch this now. He says, but while he is in the process of coping with the cross, you hear him say, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which in turn means, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus on the cross. Yeah, but he calls to the Father and said, Father, why have you forsaken me? Sometimes these crosses that we deal with in our life become so difficult and so painful and so agonizing until for a moment we feel as if God has forsaken us. Yeah, it makes you ask the question, where are you, Lord? Have y'all ever been there? I know I've been there when stuff is on my shoulder. Sometimes I gotta ask you, Lord, you said you were gonna be by my side, but where are you right now? Yeah. Oh, he asked the question. There on the cross. Hanging there. But he shows us how to deal with the cross. While hanging there, he looks down at his enemies. Yeah, the ones who put him on the cross. And he turns around and he says, Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they do. See, when the folks and Negroes come against you, don't worry about them. Just say, Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing. He showed me how to deal with my crosses. But it's this cross. This cross came into the picture as a result of evil men. There are some who plan and who conspire and who plot and who plot their plans to fulfill Jesus, that Jesus would die on the cross. Some of the crosses that we have to bear and endure will be placed on us,
yes, sir,
by wicked folk.
Yes.
Wherever you just said, show up every Sunday.
Yeah.
52 Sundays out of a year at every Bible study. And even some of us preaching in the pulpit and we're nothing but demons.
Yeah.
Wicked folk. Wicked folk. You endure some pain by the result of wicked people.
Yeah.
But there would be no crosses at all if it had not been for people.
Yeah.
Look back over your life and see many of those crosses you were carrying because somebody else.
That's right.
Yeah. You know. You know you have spiritual discipline. You know you have spiritual strength. When you're able to do something, to do something, but you suffer through it for the sake of the greater good. Watch this. Jesus had the power to blink his eye, and all of them around the altar would have fell dead. Standing around the cross, he had the power to speak a word, and those who plotted his demise would have been swept away to everlasting damnation. Yet Jesus had the power to speak, and the Bible said legions of angels would have come to his side, standing on the banisters of heaven, waiting to get Jesus off the cross, but he didn't call them. No. I know he could have, but he didn't. But Jesus did not do it. No. He said, it's wrong what they're doing to me. But I'm here to help somebody else. See, you're going through some hell in your life. You know why you're going through it? You're going through it to help somebody else. There are some crosses you got to bear in order to help somebody else. He hung there. And he died. After dying, the disciples, watch this, walked away. They thought the story was over with. Peter took the position of a backslider. How do you know that? The same Peter who said, thou art the Christ, the Son of a living God, turned around to be a backslider in the end. What you mean? He said, watch in the scripture, he said, Lord, after they put Jesus on the cross and then they took him, then he was around the fire with some men trying to warm himself.
Yeah.
And while he's standing there, a damsel came to him and said, are you one of them that was with Jesus? And Peter said, I don't even know the man. Y'all know how we do sometimes. We get in front of some folk and they tell us about Jesus. I don't know him. Yeah. Then she comes back again. And she tells him, you gotta be him, cause you look like him. And he said, no, I don't know him. Then there was a man around the fire with Peter. And he said, yeah, you are definitely one of them. And Peter got so mad that he started cussing. Yeah, he decided he wanted to be a backslider. Peter said, I don't know him. Three times he denied him. Peter got upset and started cussing. But guess what? Let me tell you this. When you have been with the Lord, folk know you've been with the Lord. Yeah. You can't be no counterfeit Christian. Because it's going to shine every time. But when you have been with the Lord, the Lord of folk will know that you have spent time with the Lord.
Yeah.
Peter didn't. And watch how they do it. Watch. Peter caught up with the rest of the disciples. And he started talking backslider talk.
Yeah.
I know some of you saying this is Easter sermon, but watch. Just go with me. You're going to get there. Peter said, I know what you're going to do, but I don't know what you're going to do, but I'm going fishing.
Yeah.
Now you understand this when you go back to when Jesus met Peter.
Uh-huh.
Jesus met Peter by the seashore.
Yeah.
fish anymore, but you're going to fish for men. And Peter dropped his nets immediately and went after Jesus. But here Peter is not after Jesus has died on the cross. Peter said, I'm going fishing. And don't you know that some of these church folk would do the same thing when you're trying to do the best you can and got your mind fixed on Jesus, and they say, I don't know about you, but I'm going to do this. I ain't going to spend all my time there. You got to make a choice. Peter said, I'm going fishing. Peter gave him up. He was ready to go back to his old ways. And if you are not careful, in the time of difficulty, in the time of stress, in the time of distress, if you are not careful when you have given the best of your service to God, time will come and you will want to go back to your old way. But I came to tell you, don't you do it. Some of you, on the other night they were talking about fever. Not coming to help the folk in Dawsonville. Well, guess what? Don't worry about fever. Get on your knees. You got a fever in heaven. And what fever don't want to do, God says, I'll open up a window to heaven and pull you out of blessing that you won't even have room enough to receive. And guess what? Doesn't matter what fever says. Let me tell you what the Lord says. He said, I can do all things, right? So guess what? If I get on my knees and tell him, Lord, this is what I need, he'll make a way out of nowhere. Matter of fact, he'll go and make the bill go faster than it's really going right now. Stop worrying. Stop complaining. Just trust the Lord. He'll make a way out of nowhere. Jesus died, y'all. Died on the cross. He not only suffered on the cross, but he died on the cross. Now there are some men who do not suffer on the cross and didn't die on the cross, but they gave up. Look at the disciples, Peter and the disciples. They didn't suffer. Because Jesus protected them the whole time. They didn't die on the cross. Because Jesus died in their state. But here they are now. Won't give up. Well, if Jesus didn't give up, why would you and I give up? Yeah. Watch this. They thought it was all over. They had very short memory though. Yet throughout Jesus' association with them, for 3 years he had been telling them. He had been telling them that the hour would come. He had been telling them that he was to be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified. But he told them something else. He said, but in 3 days, I'll be back again. He said, 3 days, I'll be back again. And then he gave up. The Pharisees. Jesus died. Last saying from the cross, he said, Father, into thy hand I commend my spirit. Gave up the ghost, and Pharisees were happy. The chief priests were happy. The scribes were happy. The demon in hell were overjoyed because Jesus is now dead. After dying on the cross, the body was requested by Joseph of Arimathea, and permission was granted for him to get the body. He spent a little while in what I call downtime. Some of those crosses and crucifixions will knock us down for a little while. But it's one thing to be knocked down, but it's another thing to be knocked out. You might be down, but you might not be out. The Bible says that is there in the graveyard. Just a few days later.
Well,
Sunday morning showed up.
Yeah.
There was action going on in the graveyard.
Yeah.
Well, let me stop there and put a peg there for you, because if there was action going on in the graveyard where Jesus was, there ought to be some action going on in the churchyard where Jesus remained. Yes, sir. Yeah, action. Happened in the graveyard.
Yeah.
Something happened, and if you can cope with your cross,
yeah,
something will happen in your life.
Yeah.
The text says Jesus sent an earthquake and shook up the situation.
Yeah,
you must know that in the time that you are struggling,
yeah,
God has the power to send down an earthquake and shake up your situation so you can be free. God's got the power to move some things out of your way, and he got to shake it up to get it out your life. Oh, God. How do you know that, preacher? I'm glad you asked. You remember Paul and Silas, don't you? Yeah, Paul and Silas find themselves in jail because they were doing the work of the Lord. But guess what happened? At a midnight prayer, they were bound in jail. At a midnight prayer service, they started singing and praying the praises of God, and the Lord started to shake up the jailhouse, and the doors flew open, and God gave them the deliverance that they were asking for. All you gotta do is get on your knees and say, Lord, I stretch my hand. Oh, you'll shake up your situation. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. God shook the graveyard. The Bible says the angel. The angel came. And that's another good thing that God will do for you.
Amen.
If you cope with your cross.
Well.
He'll send an angel to help you.
Yes.
He'll send an angel to minister to you with strength.
Yes.
He will send an angel.
Yes.
And you can join with the songwriter and say, all night, all day, the angels are watching over me, my Lord. Do what you will to me. Stab me in the back. Talk about me, lie on me, do whatever it is you want to do. I got angels all around me, and you can't get to me until the Lord moves the angel out of the way. Oh, thank the Lord. I got angels. Yeah. He said, watch this. The Bible says, one of the angels rolled the stone back. He removed the stone.
Amen.
Whatever is blocking your progress right now, God got some angels ready to move the stones and the stumbling blocks out of your way. What you mean, preacher? You got financial problems? God's got an angel. You got marital problems? God's got an angel. You got sickness in your body? God's got an angel. You got difficulty with your mind and your heart? God's got an angel. Whatever it is you're dealing with, God's got an angel. When the stone was removed after the cross. Y'all got that? The stone was removed after the cross. 3 days later, after the cross, he who was down got back up again. Yes, sir. I thank God. Now look, I don't want you to be foolish about this thing. God didn't need an angel to move it so Jesus could get out the grave. No, because when the angel came down and moved the stone out of the way, Jesus was already resurrected. He moved the stone so that Mary Magdalene, Peter, and John could look in and see that Jesus was gone back to glory. Oh, Lord. At the cross, God will make a way. He'll walk out on. He walked out on resurrected ground, and he turned around and said, all power is given. Mama didn't have no money. She would tell him, I'm not here. I'm gone. But that's not what Jesus was saying. Jesus said, tell him I got to go back to the Father. Guess what he said? You're looking for a dead man amongst the living. I ain't dead no more. I got power to lift up a bowed down head. I got power to hold you up with my strength. I got the power that's in my hand. Trust me. Hardships. I found myself crying over pain. But I thank God I found out that if I just hold out till the morning, if I just keep the faith through the night, everything is going to be alright in the morning. Oh, yeah. After the cross that you bear, there's victory. After the cross, there is resurrection power. After the cross, God will raise you up and give you strength, more strength and power than you ever had before. After the cross. If y'all would have saw me when I was a young boy, y'all would have known I was wild. But now you see me. And guess what? I don't look like what I've been through. I don't know about you, but I've been through hell and high water, but I don't look like what I've been through. How you say that, preacher? Because every time I see a gray hair pop out somewhere, I give God the glory because I know I'm doing what the will of God is. Oh, God. I'm going. Go on, y'all.
Well,
bear your cross.
Yeah.
Go on.
Well,
bear your cross with dignity.
Yeah.
Stop whining. Stop grumbling. Bear your cross like a man or a woman that you are, knowing that you can do all things through Christ Jesus, which strengthens you. You must learn how to trust and lean on God's word. I'm determined that nothing and nobody shall ever separate me from the love of God.
Amen.
I come too far, y'all. I come too far from where I've been at.
Amen.
I ran too hard to let somebody knock me down. I've gone through too much to turn around. I've had too much done to me and not to let anything separate me from the love of God.
Hallelujah.
Hold on. Hold on. You will be mistreated.
Well,
but hold on. You're gonna be talked about. But hold on. Folks gonna lie on you. But hold on. They gonna step on you. But hold on. Why should I hold on? Everything. Everything is gonna be all right in the morning if I just hold out. Every now and then, I find myself with my hands lifted high. Every now and then, I find myself clapping my hands like I'm crazy. Every now and then, my feet start stomping like something wrong with me. Every now and then, I gotta rock from side to side. Every now and then, tears roll out my eyes. Every now and then, I gotta shout for the glory of God. Why, preacher? Because I'm holding on to God that reigns from the dead. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. He lives within my heart. Every time Superman shows up, he's closed in something else.
Amen.
And every time you see me walking around, every now and then I gotta unclose.
yeah.
on the inside of me. After the cross. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for delivering. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for my breakthrough. After the cross. After the cross. No cross. No cross. No cross. No experience. No cross. No patience. After the cross. After the cross. God is good.